Chapter 6. Flavius Alkanex. Sakara, or Damark Thresh, diabolist of the seventh choir, stared at the thing called Key as it sat in quiet contemplation. Of what, he could not say, nor did he wish to know. The Eldar had assumed a cross-legged position just after the attack had begun and seemed unconcerned by anything going on around it. On every viewscreen, the image was the same. Orange, blade-shaped Eldar fighter craft swarming about the Vesalius like cull wasps stinging a bovid. Every so often, the frigate shuddered as a fighter got past the defensive turrets. By themselves, they were little threat to the Vesalius, but the word-bearer knew that this was nothing more than a distraction. He laughed hollowly. A trap, of course. It had happened before. His enslaver was nothing if not single-minded, and that made him predictable in some ways, if not others. His obsessions had been diverted down crooked paths after that long-ago raid on Lugarnath. Bile had been drawn deeper and deeper into the mysteries of Eldar, seeking the answers he sought in the unnatural writings of the filthy Xenos. "Was that their plan all along, I wonder?" he mused, as alarm klaxons sounded, alerting the crew to another strafing run. The Eldar had surged out of a side corridor of the webway, like dead leaves blown through an open shaft. One moment the webway had been empty, the next it was full of death. And not just corsairs. The ship's sensors had isolated and identified strange, multicoloured craft, smaller and faster than the others. They spun about Vesalius with impossible grace, darting in and retreating, doing little damage but drawing fire from the startled gunnery crews.
One trap after the next. Cunning are the Xenos, and they make all truths falsehoods.
The words came naturally to his lips. The 23rd canticle from the Codex Logarius. Trust not the Xenos, lest ye be mired in treachery. The attack was a feint. They were occupying the Vesalius, jamming its vox frequencies and keeping anyone aboard from sending aid to those aboard the craft world. If he tried to launch gunships, the Eldar would swarm through the open bays.
If we stay, I die, and if we leave, I die.
He smiled crookedly.
A double-edged blade.
Sakara sank to one knee before the former corsair and tipped up its chin with a finger.
Is that why they let him keep you all these centuries, so that you would lead him here into their trap?
He smiled.
Do they think so far ahead, these creatures?
The Eldar played with the prophecy the way a child might shape mud. They twisted certain futures all out of joint and changed the course of time's river. Full of arrogance, they invaded the playground of the gods for their own pathetic ends. Sakara grinned into Key's face.
If so, they will find him trickier prey than they might expect. I know from experience that he is no simpleton, whatever his other faults.
Key's false eyes twitched in their ravaged sockets. It reached up a pale hand and stroked Sakara's cheek. Slivers of wraithbone protruding from its flesh-like thorns sliced through his skin. He jerked back with a hiss, but did not strike the creature.
A wasted effort, whatever I might wish. You would not feel it, would you?
Key said nothing. It merely stared at him, expression blank. Sakara blinked and looked away. The creature was unnatural, an abomination even among abominations. A thing that should not exist. More proof that Fabius Bile needed a guiding hand.
Enemy fighters breaking off, Wulver intoned.
Sakara started and rose to his feet. He turned towards the Strategium Overseer.
What?
Enemy fighters.
I heard you. Show me.
The sensor feeds flickered, cycling from one node to the next. It was as Wulver had said. The Eldar were breaking off, retreating. But why? Then he caught sight of the bulky shape of a Stormbird assault lander plunging down through the haze of battle. And then a second, a third, a dozen. Storm Eagle gunships accompanied the larger craft, dueling with any Eldar vessel foolish enough to draw near.
Identify the newcomers, now,
Information began its slow crawl across the displays as ident signals were recognized and expanded. Sakara grimaced. They all belonged to the Third Legion, or did so now, at least.
"But what are they doing here?" he muttered.
Once again, he tried to contact the others, but the Vox frequency was still scrambled.
"Third Legion transports Blood of Terror and Firehawk requesting docking permission," Wulver intoned.
"They move quickly," Sakara grunted.
He paused, considering. Unlike the Eldar, the Empress' children had likely come through the same gate that the Vesalius had traversed. While the Stormbirds were long-range craft, the supporting gunships were anything but. That implied the presence of larger craft in close proximity.
"Third Legion transports Olakius and Yammering Tongue requesting docking permission."
Wulver's monotone crackled with something that might have been displeasure.
"Third Legion transports Fulgrim's Whisper and Eidolon's Folly requesting..."
"Yes, yes," Sakara growled. "Less a timely intervention than a boarding action, it seems. Contact Merix. I want the 12th millennial ready to meet our saviors in the docking bays. And find some way of breaking through that jamming signal. The Clone Lord might wish to know that his former brothers have come calling."
Fabius stared at the empty space where the assault lander had been. Scorch marks scarred the open docking platform, and the wraithbone looked as if it had been chewed by high-velocity weapons fire. The bodies of the two landhounds he'd left to guard the vessel lay scattered like crimson spillage across the platform, their augmented forms torn apart by the same weapons that had wounded the wraithbone walls and deck. He stalked towards the open bulkhead, his armor's augers pinpointing and analyzing the angle and depth of the holes marking the wraithbone. Arian and the others spread out, several of the Emperor's children moving to force the inner bulkhead closed.
"Where's the blasted lander?" Skarlagrim said.
"It's been destroyed,"
Fabius said flatly. He suspected that was what Sakara had been trying to tell him earlier. This trap had been well and truly sprung. But this did not feel like a Harlequin ploy. The ambush, yes, but this. He stepped to the edge of the outer bulkhead, the astral winds whipping at his coat. He could see the expanse of the craft world stretching out around and below him. Rising from among the broken spars and shattered domes were thin plumes of smoke. One of them undoubtedly marked the remains of the assault lander. The Vox was still jammed, emitting only a faint murmur as of many voices speaking all at once. But the heights above were full of sound and fury. Disparate craft, not all of them Eldar, duelled across the crooked horizons of the craft world, raining fire down on the dead world. Spars of the webway splintered as they were caught in the crossfire and fell like pale comets. The craft world shuddered as these missiles struck home, eradicating domes and structures that had remained sacrosanct for untold centuries.
"Those are Third Legion gunships up there,"
Savona said from nearby.
"But I don't recognize them. Are they ours?"
She crouched at the edge of the berth, staring upwards.
"I think not," Fabius said.
They'd missed something, preoccupied as they were by the Harlequins.
"This section of the webway is more crowded than I'd hoped."
He could see the vast bulk of the Vesalius holding position nearby, its defensive turrets casting thunder and lightning at the swarm of comparatively minuscule Xenos vessels that afflicted it. The Eldar had come prepared for war. He smiled bitterly, wondering whether he ought to be flattered by such attentions. Something screeched and flung itself at him through the empty air. It was a snarling ball of wings, jaws, and malice, reeking of the Empyrean. He drove Torment forward like a spear, punching through one of several champing mouths. Broken fangs spattered his arm as he whipped the stunned creature around and slammed it against the side of the berth, pulping it into a harmless mass. He freed Torment from its writhing shape and kicked it off the platform.
"Damnation,"
he muttered. It seemed that the conflict had drawn the attentions of the Neverborn. Demons raced through the savaged air, corkscrewing towards unlucky vessels. An Eldar fighter bucked like a wounded animal, as demons tore at its fuselage and canopy, trying to get at the pilots within. It slammed into a nearby docking tower. The flare of destruction drove Fabius and Savona back from the opening. He cursed and turned back to the others.
"We will not be able to hold this position for long. If the Eldar don't overwhelm us, the demons will."
"What do you suggest?" Skarlagrim said. "Shall we climb down and lose ourselves in the maze below? Or perhaps you'd like to parley with the Xenos?"
He pointed his axe at Fabius.
"Deliver unto us your words of wisdom, Chief Apothecary."
Before Fabius could reply, something heavy struck the docking tower. He staggered, his battle plate's internal stabilizers keeping him on his feet. The wraithbone arches buckled, and the tower's long dormant systems burst in a spray of sparks and eerie blue flame. Smoke boiled out of the damaged control nodes, washing through the chamber before being drawn out through the open berth. His armor's proximity sensors screamed as slim shapes darted through the fog. Where the Harlequins had come from, he couldn't say. That they were here now was the important thing, and there was nowhere else to go.
"He has run. Oh, he has run, but he can run no further."
Fabius turned. The smoke seemed to congeal about him, thickening and becoming almost opaque. The vox faltered and went dead, sealing him inside his armor. He could hear nothing save his own breath rasping in his lungs and the thump of his pulse. Even the chirurgeon was silent, though he could feel it twitching and pulling against his spine. In the haze, vague shapes capered and spun about him, drawing closer with every gyration. Suddenly, the audio sensors of his helmet squealed, nearly deafening him.
"That story never ends," a hatefully familiar voice said. "It only circles back around, from end to beginning, and starts again."
A thin shape danced towards him, spinning a long staff as if to disperse the smoke. Fabius stiffened.
"Vale Walker."
"Whether you wish it or not, the performance continues, O King of Feathers."
Sylandri Vale Walker half sang.
"The story permutes and shifts about you, but you will never break free of it. Like the glistening coils of Shechem Shahai, they pull you deeper into destiny's embrace, the harder you struggle. That is the story of you."
The Shadow Seer twirled towards him, moving with a curious, rolling gait. As the Xenos twitched, mirror images sprang from it, like reflections in shattered glass. The images switched positions, as if the creature were dancing with itself. Beyond the images, he could see Arian and the others fighting the Harlequins. Korag smashed a clown from its feet with a sweep of his arm, and Pazuz leapt on it, eliciting a scream from the gaudy Xenos. Arian staggered as a Harlequin plunged a hand through his chest plate, its phase field allowing it to bypass Ceramite as if it were thin air. The World Eater's desperate slash sent the Harlequin tumbling back, out of reach, its fingers dripping red. The others were similarly engaged and unable to come to his aid. The Harlequins had isolated him with deft skill.
"It has been over a century, Vale Walker. Find a new tale to tell, or better yet, don't."
Fabius snatched his needler from its holster and fired, sending a dart towards each of the images. One by one, they flickered out of sight. Fabius grunted in annoyance as something hard crunched against one of his stab lights, shattering it. He spun, firing again, but Vale Walker flipped away, laughing shrilly. The smoke seemed to drag at his limbs. It was as if the Harlequins had suborned it somehow. His armor's targeting system couldn't get a lock on the slim figure capering about him. He was forced to rely on his own instincts. Unfortunately, those instincts were somewhat dull from disuse. It had been too long since he had taken the field in anything more than a detached capacity. The front line was foreign ground to him. He needed distance, a distraction. He bulled through the smoke, seeking allies. As he burst through the roiling cloud, he spotted several of his glandhounds fighting back to back against the darting shapes.
Nihilos! Hargan! Form up!
He snarled as he lurched towards them. Two Dlandhounds broke away from the pack and hurried towards him, firing at the whirling shapes around them as they came. A scrape of silk on Wraithbone brought him around as Vale Walker darted towards him. Swiftly, he stepped behind one of the Dlandhounds. The staff spun in Vale Walker's hands, and the weighted ferrule slammed down on Nihilos's skull. Reinforced bone buckled as if it were paper, and he toppled forward with a disgruntled sigh. The Shadow Seer was over the body a moment later, spinning towards Fabius in a blur of colour. Fabius interposed Torment, catching the Xenos's staff before it connected, but only just. The alien was incredibly fast, faster even than his enhanced reflexes could compensate for. Hargan roared and lunged, nearly tackling the Eldar. Vale Walker leapt straight up and drove the end of its staff down like a spear. Hargan gave a strangled groan as the staff punched through his armor and crushed his spine. He flopped to the ground, his screams cut short as Vale Walker landed on his head. The Shadow Seer vaulted off the dying Dlandhound and sprang towards Fabius.
Bow to fate, monkey, lest its weight crush you where you stand.
He backed away from the slim shape. The distorted vox crackled suddenly, erupting with the ecstatic death cries of the Emperor's children and the shrieking moans of his Dlandhounds. A tactic that might have unnerved a lesser mind.
Better to be crushed by fate than to live in chains, he said, spitting the words at the alien. You had my answer on Luganath, witch. What makes you think this time would be any different?
Warning runes flashed in his display, alerting him to his danger an instant before the enemy struck. Vale Walker had maneuvered him into a trap. Fabius twisted aside, and a monomolecular blade pierced the flap of his coat, tearing away a silently screaming face. He brought Torment down. The colourful shape flipped out of reach, laughing. They were all laughing, or worse, singing. The vox rattled with shouted calls for aid or warnings. The Harlequins had sliced the Emperor's children's battle formation apart, like water sluicing through parched soil. Everywhere he looked, warriors fought alone or in small groups. He caught a glimpse of Savona and Belophus chopping themselves a path towards Skarlagrim, who was wrestling with a spindly clown, its two long fingers crackling with blinding energies. He heard Arian calling out, but could not spot the World Eater's ident rune in the confusion. His armour scanned and isolated the capering figures that now surrounded him, and began the slow trawl through his archive of Eldari mythology. Harlequins did not wage war so much as they performed it. Battle flowed according to a choreographed rhythm. If he could identify the story they were acting out, he stood a chance of escaping the otherwise lethal pull of the narrative, or of upending it entirely.
Patience, he murmured.
Vale Walker phased in and out of sight, dancing through the shadows, drawing closer with impossible speed. The other Harlequins orbited around the Shadow Seer, playing their assigned roles. He ignored the off-kilter singing, the playful lunges, and tried to concentrate on the big movements and identify the main characters. Vale Walker was the instigator, but there would be others. They whirled about him in a murderous cyclone, their blades marking his armour, his coat, drawing sparks and scraps alike. The chirurgeon responded to his need, and a flush of stimulants filled his bloodstream. He matched his opponents move for move. There were dozens of Harlequins, but most of them seemed more inclined to prance and sing than attack. The world, his surroundings, narrowed to the performance.
The chorus, then, playing to the audience, he said to himself.
The implications of that infuriated him. He was no play actor, strutting and fretting on a crumbling stage for the enjoyment of others. He readied his needler and targeting runes spun, trying to lock on to one of the slender shapes pirouetting about him. Even as he fought, however, a portion of mind was analysing his enemies. They reminded him in some ways of his brothers, or his brothers as they had been. Their movements had the same air of practised repetition, as if every fight had been fought 1,000 times and every move accounted for. The search for perfection had driven his brothers into the arms of anarchy, but these creatures had surrendered their will to a far crueler philosophy, that of narrative causality. Their stories, once begun, could not help but take their inevitable shape again and again. The question here was this a story where they won or where they lost? He staggered as a burst of needle fire drew oily sparks from his shield plate. He twisted, pulling the trigger, replying in kind. He swung the needler, finger still on the trigger. He could see the weak points now, the center of each part of the narrative, the god figures. Hurt them, disrupt the performance. Choosing one at random, he lunged, torment sweeping back for a clubbing blow. All of a sudden, the narrative contracted in an unforeseen fashion, and the harlequin scattered in all directions. He felt something vibrate through the platform and turned. A gunship hovered before the open docking bay, assault cannons whirring, driving Vale Walker and the other harlequins back. The vox crackled as a new voice intruded over the clamour of alien voices.
"Oh, you live, Lieutenant Commander Fabius."
He recognised that voice. Fabius turned towards the gunship as it docked in the berth. Though its heraldry was faded and warped, it was still recognisably that of the Third Legion. The disembarkation ramp thudded home as the entry port cycled open with a hiss of escaping pressure. The ramp trembled beneath the tread of booted feet. Warriors in twisted battle plate thudded down into the chamber, weapons blazing, bellowing the battle cry of their legion.
"Children of the Emperor, death to his foes!"
The phalanx of amethyst battle plate spread out, pushing the harlequins back through sheer momentum. The alien clowns leapt and danced among the firestorm, nimbly avoiding whistling bolter rounds with impossible grace. But no matter how adroit their movements, they could not pierce the curtain of explosive rounds and were forced back. Fabius saw Vale Walker race up the side of a wall, twisting in the air, staff sweeping out like a scythe to knock a space marine staggering. A moment later, the Shadow Seer was gone, retreating with the rest of its troop, back through the chamber entrance. The alien voices that had been ricocheting across the vox faded, giving way before the voices of the newcomers. Fabius turned, weapons still in hand. He found himself staring down the barrels of several bolters.
"Is this a rescue or an assassination?"
"As distrustful as ever, Spider."
A warrior pushed his way through the newcomers' ranks. He was clad in magnificent Mark IV battleplate, decorated with complex heraldry and ornamentation. Every facet of the purple armour had been made over into a work of art, painted faces warred for space with deceptively delicate-looking crystalline growths and carefully sculpted extrusions of ceramite. The helmet bore a crest of stiff white hair, and the golden visor was scooped to a sharp, baroque curve. Ancient oaths of moment, all either happily unfulfilled or proudly broken, fluttered about his armour. Fabius straightened.
"Flavius Alkenex."
Flavius Alkenex, whom he'd fought beside at Byzas and Walpurgis. Prefect of the Phoenix Guard in the waning days of the heresy. One of Fulgrim's lackeys in the centuries after the flight from Terra. There was no telling who he served now, though it was certain that he was serving someone. Flavius had never been one to lead when he could instead follow. Fabius lifted his needler, ignoring the bolters aimed in his direction.
"My question stands.
If it were the one rather than the other, why not simply leave you to your fate?"
Alkenex shrugged.
"Then you always were sorely lacking in common sense."
He tapped the pommel of the blade sheathed at his side.
"And my rank is prefect, as I'm sure you recall."
Fabius laughed.
"And mine is Lieutenant Commander. But that was when there was a legion with a command structure. Now we are just Fabius and Flavius. And if you do not answer my question, there will soon only be Fabius."
The needler didn't waver. Alkenex laughed.
"You are as stubborn as I recall, Spider."
"Do not call me that,"
Fabius snapped.
"I'll call you what I like, given that you are now my prisoner.
Alkanex made a show of drawing his blade and laid it over his shoulder.
On whose authority?
Does it matter? I outnumber you. That alone gives me all the authority I need. Fabius looked around. Only a few of the warriors who'd accompanied Savona were still standing, Belophus among them. And as Alkanex had pointed out, they were badly outnumbered by the newcomers. Arian and the other members of his consortium were isolated, facing down a firing line. The only ones not being covered were the twins and his surviving glandhounds, likely because Alkanex thought them to be nothing more than mortal chattel. He caught Meshana's eye, and she dipped her chin. The glandhounds eyed Alkanex's warriors hungrily, and Fabius knew that if he gave the order, they would attack, and most likely die in the doing so. Ordinarily, he wouldn't have hesitated, but they had taken too many casualties on this expedition. Too much viable stock now lay ruined on Wraithbone decks. Even so, he was loath to allow Alkanex to hold the upper hand. He stepped forward, needler still raised. Alkanex tilted his head, watching him as he advanced. "Ordinarily in these situations, the prisoner lowers his weapon," he said.
"I have never been ordinary."
Fabius ignored the anticipatory twitches of the Emperor's children surrounding him.
"Nor have I ever surrendered, especially to a jumped-up equerry such as yourself, Flavius."
"The alternative is death," Fabius laughed.
"I have died before."
He let the barrel of the needler drift, his targeting array locking onto the space between Alkanex's chestplate and helmet.
"These needles can pierce all but the thickest ceramite, and the concoction within them would break down your body, cell by cell, until there is nothing left of you but a bad smell. I do not fear death, Flavius. Do you?"
Alkanex tapped his shoulder plate with his sword.
"No, but neither am I in any hurry to die. I could just have them shoot you."
"You said it yourself. If you were here to kill me, you would have left me to the Harlequins, which means you need me alive."
"True, but alive doesn't mean in one piece."
Alkanex stabbed his sword into the wraithbone with an emphatic thunk.
"Perhaps we should retreat, eh? Leave you to escape on your own. I suspect that you'll manage it in time."
He pointed upwards.
"If the Harlequins let you, that is."
Fabius glanced up and saw the pale ovals of Harlequin masks peering at him from the shadows of the chamber's upper reaches. A whisper of sound slithered across the vox, something between a laugh and an eager whine. Abruptly, he lowered his needler.
"Fine. I surrender."
"Louder, spider, so that the audience can hear."
Alkanex lifted his sword and tapped it against Fabius's shoulder.
"I want there to be no mistake."
Fabius brushed the sword away.
"I surrender," he said, holstering his weapon. "Though I would ask to whom I am surrendering. Who sent you here, Flavius? On whose behalf are you here, spouting threats?"
"Why, the only authority that matters, the Lord Commander Primus himself."
Alkanex sheathed his sword with a flourish and turned away.
"Lord Commander..."
Fabius began.
"Yes. Lord Commander Eidolon wishes the pleasure of your company, Fabius."